This is Jay Sekulow fighting at the UN to make sure pro-life speech is not criminalized.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
I'm wondering how you respond to these concerns and the concern of NGOs that a ban in all circumstances puts women's lives and health at risk and can cause women severe pain and suffering.
What do you think about a UN committee telling the Catholic Church to change its position on abortion?
It's beyond remarkable, isn't it? To give just a little bit of background here, the United Nations has become increasingly hostile to people of faith, and particularly to Christians, and specifically to Catholics and the teaching on life and marriage and family.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
I mean, the irony here is just unbelievable, that in the name of the rights of the child, on the Convention on the Rights of the Child, the United Nations is telling the Church, you have to change your position on the protection of children, on abortion, and now we're looking at this committee on torture. What could be more torturous to a child than the literal dismemberment that of a living human being that is abortion?
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We're talking about a very serious situation that's developing at the United Nations, and our European Center for Law and Justice is a non-governmental organization, an NGO. We had a fight for that status, but boy, I am glad we have it. There is an attempt right now by an organization, the Center for Reproductive Rights, that is one of the most adamant and vigorous pro-abortion organizations in the world, and they are seeking to equate pro-life messaging, pro-life legislation, pro-life speech as to be deemed a violation of the Convention Against Torture. And Jordan, you mentioned on the broadcast yesterday that when you're dealing with the UN bodies, like in this situation, you have to be really careful because what starts as something is in a committee can end up becoming a resolution by the General Assembly.
Yeah, that's right. And what they want here ultimately is to make it tantamount to torture. So even more than criminalize the idea of being pro-life, the idea that if you support legislation or you adopt legislation, so either of those acts, that you are now in violation of a torture convention, which basically the whole world has signed on to. And so what would that do to legislation here in the United States? How could courts try to interpret that to use it against pro-life legislation? We're steps away from the Supreme Court taking something like this and saying, well, the UN passed a resolution saying that, you know, it's torture to ban abortion after, you know, or to ban abortion it the way you've done it. So now we're not going to do that anymore.
So, David, the ramifications of this, you pointed this out on the broadcast yesterday. There's actual in the letter from the Center for Reproductive Rights, I believe it was page 10, actually says clearly, unequivocally, unapologetically, when it comes to pro-life speech, not really protected.
Yep. Freedom of speech and freedom of religion are subordinate to the, quote, reproductive rights of women. It's amazing. And there's a direct threat here. If the UN pays attention to this, there is a threat to our own free speech here at home, and we lay that out on ACLJ.org.
I'll tell you what, folks. I want to hear from women. I'll hear from men as well, of course, but I want to hear from women about this. They're saying basically if you take a pro-life position, you're engaging in an action that's a violation of the Convention Against Torture. What about what happens to that child during the abortion process? We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. What would you have us tell the United Nations on this very issue? 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air about this and the message you want us to send to the UN when it comes to life. Again, 800-684-3110. Folks, 37,355 of you signed on to our petition in less than 24 hours. 37,000 standing for life at the UN. Join us in this fight at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255 to take a stand for life. It's that important. ACLJ.org. Back with your calls in just a moment.
The pro-life message is once again under assault. This time, a pro-abortion group is urging the United Nations to tell church leaders they have no right to oppose abortion. The Center for Reproductive Rights, a pro-abortion organization, is urging a UN committee to tell church leaders that the freedom of speech and of religion does not give them the right to advocate against abortion. And they go one step further with this unbelievable claim that somehow the pro-life message promotes torture. This discrimination against people of faith is absurd. We cannot let the pro-abortion lobby push its culture of death at the United Nations. We cannot let the pro-abortion lobby eliminate the pro-life message. Stand with the ACLJ and oppose the Center for Reproductive Rights. Add your name to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
She's too young to be a mother.
So we have a situation that's developed at the United Nations that we're very concerned about, and that is the Center for Reproductive Rights is moving to basically criminalize speech that involves the pro-life perspective. I want to put this into a situation where you understand exactly what's going to go on at the United Nations here and the implications that this can have for us in the United States. Jordan was just alluding to this, but let's talk about, Jordan, the procedure that's going to take place, that is taking place, actually. We're going to counter it, but also the impact, as you said, that this could have on U.S. law. I mean, it could be very, very damaging.
So it started out the Committee Against Torture, and that's the U.N. Committee that's set up for the Convention Against Torture. It's been in effect since the 1990s. And that committee, again, it will hear, just like we could present it as an NGO at these committees on specific issues. They've heard from the Center for Reproductive Rights, which is the largest pro-abortion international lobbying organization.
Right.
That's what they do. They are all over the world where we have our offices, by the way, like in places like Kenya. They are there in those same buildings alongside Planned Parenthood. They're focused on the policy side, the legislative side. And so what they are trying to do is effectively make it a violation of this convention. And they're specifically targeting here the Vatican because they're signed on to the Convention Against Torture. They have the power to ratify it. I think what their first goal is they want them kicked out. They don't want them to be able to ratify conventions, to have the special the city-state status that they have. They like that to not be recognized by the UN. And then second, ultimately, as we've seen the before with the idea of freedom of religion, and as David talked about yesterday on the broadcast, they've actually said that there's a point where freedom of religion is trumped by the right to abortion.
Well, and even, yeah, I think that's right. And the fact is, what you said is that they're making it a trump, you're going to trump the right. That's what has me concerned. And they don't hide it, folks. We look at the evidence. They're not hiding this in their material. They're putting it out there for everybody to see.
Page 10, I can read it again. The rights of freedom of speech and of religion extend only so far as they do not undermine women's reproductive rights.
I mean, that's such an outrageous comment. It is unbelievable that they would say it. First of all, it's unbelievable they would think it. But then that they're saying it makes it even worse. Folks, you could stand with us on this at aclj.org or sign on to that petition at 1-877-989-2255. We had a huge response. I mean, I asked David before we went on the air. It's a complicated issue. It's at the UN. Do our folks that are listening to this broadcast, can they grasp this as a tough... This is complicated legal issues, and it's international law, but you all get it. That's what's so encouraging here. You understand it. You get it. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to sign on this petition. I'd love to see this by the end of the week, folks, get to close to 100,000. That's going to be a big number, but that would send a big statement to the United Nations. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. We got a lot of calls coming in. Let's grab them, Jordan.
Jennifer, New Hampshire on line two. Jennifer, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. I'd just like to make a quick comment.
Sure.
I am a teenage mother. I had a baby when I was 19. I faced this choice myself, and I chose to, you know, have my son that I'm very thankful for. And I think we're all missing the big picture here. You know, as a woman and a mother, I think we need to start teaching these girls that they need to take responsibility for their actions instead of making, a decision that takes a child's life away.
Well, we're with you on that, and I think you're absolutely right, and that's why I'm glad you're calling in, because this is, I think women's organizations should be concerned about the unborn child. I think they should be concerned about the idea that this kind of speech and activity would be deemed inappropriate or illegal or somehow unauthorized, but yet there's no apology here for this. I mean, Jordan, they're going to the UN pretty boldly here. I mean, they filed this 20-page document. They're serious about it, and you've got to respond seriously in the UN tribunals.
That's right. I mean, they want the Vatican expunged from the United Nations. They would like them removed. They don't like the idea that this Catholic city-state can, again, ratify a convention against torture, which even when they ratified, they said, you know, we can't fully implement this. We don't have a full status as a nation like other nations doing this. But it goes to their policy of the Vatican. They don't like the fact that they are advocating for a pro-life legislative position in other countries around the world. So they're trying to say that if you are this organization like the Vatican and you go to South America and you are promoting pro-life legislation, you are promoting torture. That is the idea here. It's not even just the actual legislation itself. It's the promotion of a pro-life message, which is tantamount to torture.
All right, so let me read Article 1, David, of the Convention Against Torture, which no one has problems with this, but it's the way that they're trying to apply it. They're very creative. I will give that to the Center for Reproductive Rights. For the purposes of this convention, the term torture means any act by which severe pain or suffering, whether physical or mental, is intentionally inflicted on a person for such purposes as obtaining from him or a third person information or a confession, punishing him for an act he or a third person has committed or is suspected of having committed, or intimidating, coercing him or a third person, or for any reason based on discrimination of any kind when such a pain or suffering is inflicted by or at the instigation of or with the consent of or acquiescence of public officials. So that means any law that in any way impacts the right to life would be deemed under their definition of a act of torture. I mean, that's what you understand. The Center for Reproductive Rights is saying, if you say, I am pro-life, I believe that the child should be protected, or if you even said, I'm opposed to partial birth abortion, that would be tantamount to torture.
You know, and here's what would happen next. And let's be very, very clear about this. If this committee adopts this position, what will happen next is you will see amicus briefs in the United States saying international law has declared pro-life advocacy to be torture of women. And at that point, and let's not forget, American courts have applied international law.
Oh, they sure have. 37,534 of you have signed that petition. I want to get this over to 40,000 by the end of today. ACLJ.org to sign on to help us defend life at the UN. We're going to talk about how we're going to do that in a moment. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 is the easiest way to do it, is to sign the petition at ACLJ.org. We're going to go right back to our phones. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110.
Yeah, let's go to Tony in Arkansas on line four. Tony, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for having me on the
air.
Jay, based on that Article 1 that you just read, I couldn't really construe anything as defining speech. I was reading some articles yesterday after I heard your discussion that talked about, you know, where in some countries women they have an abortion or they're talking about it and they end up being with genital mutilation and forced
Well, that's a problem. That is another whole issue with what happens. That's an entirely different issue. That is also that's horrendous. But on this language, I just read your Article 1, but we've got information posted, David, online now dealing with this, folks, because we've got not only the Center for Reproductive Rights language, but we're going to respond to this in writing. But, David, what do we have up right now?
Well, what we have up right now is a specific guide to why this is a legal problem. And I think the confusion the caller's coming from is, no, there is nothing about speech in the definition of torture.
Right.
What is happening is the Center for Reproductive Rights is trying to twist this definition of torture to include speech. And that's the problem. That definition of torture that we read, we don't have a problem with that definition of torture. What we do have a problem is applying that definition
right.
to free speech. That's absurd.
All right, let's try to grab another call in here before the break. If you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110. Jordan, who's next?
Cindy in Illinois on line 5. Cindy, welcome to JCQL Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just can't believe what they come up with. You know, they're just so twisted every time they come up with anything. But you know, the bottom line is, abortion's murder. I mean, they're killing these poor innocent babies for whatever reason, and it's just murder out and out. And what would do they ever ask themselves what would have happened if their mothers would have aborted them?
No, I mean, you got to understand something. This is their religion, okay? Pat Monahan, one of our senior counsels, I've been practicing law with Pat for 35 years, said this years ago, that the abortion industry worships on the altar of abortion. I mean, this is their reason for existence. So when they take a pro-abortion position, they're not even simply dealing with, is it a woman's right between her and her doctor? That's the language they'll utilize. They completely disregard the unborn child as if it's completely insignificant, if there's no entitled to any constitutional protection for the child. But this takes it a step further. This is an organization saying, if you take a pro-life position, if you want to advocate a pro-life position, then here's what happens. You're engaged in torture. That's the position of the Center for Reproductive Rights at the United Nations. We come back from the break. Jordan's going to tell you how we're going to respond directly to that challenge. We need your help on this. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. We want you to sign on this petition. We're going to get over 40,000 by today. That's the goal. I want to be able to announce that tomorrow. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Back with your calls in just a moment.
The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. The pro-life message is once again under assault. This time, a pro-abortion group is urging the United Nations to tell church leaders they have no right to oppose abortion. The Center for Reproductive Rights, a pro-abortion organization, is urging a UN committee to tell church leaders that the freedom of speech and of religion does not give them the right to advocate against abortion. And they go one step further with this unbelievable claim that somehow the pro-life message promotes torture. This discrimination against people of faith is absurd. We cannot let the pro-abortion lobby push its culture of death at the United Nations. We cannot let the pro-abortion lobby eliminate the pro-life message. Stand with the ACLJ and oppose the Center for Reproductive Rights. Add your name to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
10 years trying to sing these doubts.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. So we're fighting this UN move by the Center for Reproductive Rights to equate pro-life speech, just the speech itself, as constituting torture under the Convention of Torture. Jordan, you've been in communication with our office in Strasbourg. That office, by the way, the European Center for Law and Justice, ECLJ, is an NGO, non-governmental organization, within the confines of the United Nations. So we have the same status as the Center for Reproductive Rights, and Jordan, Grigor Pupinik, who is heads up our office there, is already engaging this issue. By the way, he's written an interesting piece that will get posted, where the ECLJ calls on the UN Special Rapporteur on Torture to investigate children born alive after late-term abortion. So there's a whole another side of this, as you can imagine. But, Jordan, let's talk about what's going to happen. What are we going to have him do?
Yeah, well, we're going to have to file a formal response to the Center for Reproductive Rights and their statement here. And, of course, informing the Committee Against Torture, which is part of the Convention Against Torture that gets set up, why that taking this view would, of course, be a gross misunderstanding and a misinterpretation of the Convention Against Torture. That we cannot make it, and this is what they want to do, we cannot make it impossible to both have a pro-life position and oppose torture. Because that's what the Center for Reproductive Rights is trying to say, is that you cannot be both pro-life and opposed to torture in the world. I mean, literally, in the world. That you cannot, again, let me repeat that, you cannot oppose abortion and oppose torture simultaneously.
So we are fighting back on that, and we're going to do that at the United Nations through our ECLJ. Join us in this fight at ACLJ.org, ACLJ.org, or 1-877-989-2255. Back to the phones we go, Jordan.
Let's go to Sarah in Maryland on line 4. Sarah, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi. They've jumped the gun a bit. We're not that dumbed down yet, and women certainly are not that stupid.
Here's the problem, though, Sarah. I get what you're saying. You're looking at this through the eyes of the United States. But let me tell you something. It works a whole lot different at the United Nations. What's up is down, what's down is up. I mean, David's making a face over here. Because I wish we had a camera on it. Because the reality is, they've actually written this in their formal request and presentation to the UN. So this is, we're holding it in our hands. There, you can't see it, but you can hear it.
Oh, and what we have to realize is there's two constituencies in the UN that are extremely hostile to Christianity. One is the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, extremely hostile to Christianity, no religious liberty in their countries, none. And then there is a very far left, very far left radical NGO culture at the UN that despises the pro-life movement. So they're making this argument to a very friendly audience. And that audience, unfortunately, has the power to define, or at least the power to argue that torture, that pro-life advocacy is torture, an argument and a definition that would make a difference in our courts, potentially.
All right, let me play for you a soundbite from the Archbishop Tomasi. We know him, actually, who works at the European Union. This is someone I've worked with before. Here's what the Archbishop had to say.
The Holy See, in agreement with and as directed by the Convention itself, condemns torture, including for those who are tortured and killed before they are born.
So, Jordan, you are exactly correct. They are trying to say you cannot be, and I thought the Archbishop said it exactly correct as well, you cannot be pro-life and against torture. That's the new mantra. That's what's coming out of the through the UN by the Center.
Somehow,
it's
simultaneously impossible to be opposed to the abortion and opposed to torture. That you cannot hold both views. That you cannot be against both. So you have to be either pro-life, which means you support torture, or against torture, which means you're pro-abortion. Those are the only choices you have, and that's what they've said in their document. To the point where they believe that the right to abortion trumps all other rights.
Which is, it's unbelievable when you think of that in and of itself. Back to the phones we go. 1-800-684-3110. Who's next?
Mary in Idaho on line 5. Mary, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, Jay. I had an abortion years ago, and I was lied to. I was young. I had no idea what was really involved. And they keep you turned away so you don't know what's going on. And they stroke your hand. And they're such liars because now, here, all these years later, I suffer. I have nightmares. I pray for forgiveness for murder. And they have the audacity to say that because I have a voice and I stand up for those children, that I'm the guerrilla warfarist here. What's wrong with this country?
Well, it's not. This is a move on an international bodies to set an international precedent to equate pro-life positions with acts of torture. I mean, that's what they're aiming to do. But Mary, because of people like you standing up and speaking out, again, I encourage you to please, Mary, sign that petition at ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to speak out on this issue. We're going right to our phones. Tons of phone calls coming in. 1-800-684-3110. Who's next?
Yeah, right back to the phones we go. Sandy in Virginia on line 6. Sandy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Sandy.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I love your show.
Thank you.
I love all the things that you say. Thank goodness that there's somebody that stands up for the things that are so right in the world.
Thanks.
And I wanted to tell you that I'm very pro-life, and I've been working for probably 13 years trying to help women that get pregnant and try to keep these babies. And one of the things that I find is difficult is the adoption process. It seems lengthy, and particularly in other countries. And I wish we could do something to find beautiful, wonderful homes for these.
Well, let me have David French and his wife Nancy have adopted a child, so I want him to speak to it, and because this is at the end of the day, it's about the children.
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, and the thing is, when you adopt a child, you become a part of it. You become aware of how many people in this country alone are desperate for children, who want children. And that's one of the other tragedies of abortion. You have the tragedy of the loss of the child in the womb, the death of the child, and then you also have the tragedy of the loss of a family, because there are so many families in this country alone, not counting internationally, who desperately want to adopt, who desperately want to care for children, and they're willing to go to great lengths to travel all over the world to build their families, and yet it's somehow torture, torture to argue that we should be able to love and raise a child rather than kill it in the womb. It's evil, this argument.
Let me tell you what we're going to do tomorrow. Jordan's in contact with our office in Europe right now. We'll have a full report to you on exactly how we're responding. We will respond. But the fact of the matter is we're going to fight back on your behalf. And this is where you come in. I'd like to be at 40,000 tomorrow. We can do interim reports to the UN so we could start getting the numbers up. We've had a huge response, 37,000 in the very first day on this, which is huge. Some of you will be getting emails on it today. Some of you received them yesterday, and the response, as I said, has been really overwhelming. We want to get it up to 100,000 is the ultimate goal. This will be an issue that's debated for a while. Doesn't happen quickly at the UN. That's the good news. But this is where you come in. Go to ACLJ.org. You can sign on to this petition to not allow the UN to criminalize a pro-life message. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Also, at ACLJ.org, support the work of the ACLJ. Easy way to do it, making donations online, ACLJ.org. Share us and like us on Facebook. Folks, we want to get to 2 million on Facebook by the end of the year. That's the goal. Follow Jordan on Twitter, twitter.com/JordanSekulow. Back with more in a moment.
This discrimination against people of faith is absurd. We cannot let the pro-abortion lobby push its culture of death at the United Nations. We cannot let the pro-abortion lobby eliminate the pro-life message. Stand with the ACLJ and oppose the Center for Reproductive Rights. Add your name to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. If you have not yet signed this petition to the United Nations demonstrating that a pro-life position and advocating for a pro-life position does not constitute torture, I would encourage you to do so now. You can do it by calling 877-989-2255 or by going to aclj.org. And folks, in this segment of the broadcast, I wanted to play for you a clip from a documentary that we put together called Choosing Life. It takes a look back at the ACLJ's involvement in the pro-life movement, in the legal landscape of the life issue over the last couple of decades. And what you're going to hear in this segment is a scene from a sidewalk demonstration, actually. This is where Jay really cut his teeth on the life issue, defending the rights of pro-life advocates to engage in their perspective, folks, and to fight for the lives of the unborn. And that is something that we continue to do today at the ACLJ. That's why we're engaging the UN on this unbelievable issue, folks, where actually advocating a pro-life position could constitute and equate to torture in the eyes of the United Nations. So this clip is going to give you kind of a perspective of where the ACLJ came from on the life issue, and it will lead all the way up to where we are at today in advocating at the UN against this ridiculous claim against the Catholic Church. So let's go ahead and take a listen to this. Again, it's a clip from our documentary called Choosing Life.
And then they attacked the individual church. They didn't just go after the leaders. They decided to go after the churches and close down the churches. That was their big chant. They were going to close down the churches.
You don't want my clinics! I'll fuck your churches! You fuck my clinics! I'll fuck your churches! Get your money! Run for Hungary! Get your money! Run for Hungary!
And the American people said, wait a minute. You've got people putting their life on the line to defend the unborn, and then you've got even people that were pro-choice were saying there's something not right about the nature of these protests.
To what? They boxed themselves into a very angular corner of hatred. They even look at it. They're angry, mean people. Now, these are probably sweet young girls in other contexts.
Get them out!
Operation Rescue! In the way of rescue!
The job to put the LDR abortion bank on me!
We're here to play! How about to kill women?
I was talking to a gentleman going back home tonight. I said, they're blocking our church. And he said, that's because we're blocking their church, meaning the abortion clinic.
Operation Rescue This! Operation Rescue! Operation Rescue This! We are gonna get you!
I want to make sure some of the elderly people got out the side door. We always have a side door here and there. And we got them out. I was concerned because they get quite upset and then you might have a physical confrontation.
Oh, stop those atheists!
F you! Get the out of New York! Get the
going and blocking access for the worshipers to go into the churches to pray.
So it seems in America, if you block an abortion clinic to save lives, the federal court says you're subject to $25,000 fine. If you sit in front of a church to prevent worshipers from coming in and expressing their constitutional right for free religious expression, nothing.
I'm a tough New Yorker. I mean, that's why I didn't get too upset.
It's the abortion distortion factor. It's as if the rules change when it's abortion. So if you're pro-life, if you hold a sign or engage in a prayer vigil, you could get arrested. But if you're pro-choice, you could parade in New York City naked in broad daylight, shouting obscenities, blocking access to churches, and nobody's not only going to prosecute you, they'll kind of protect you. That's the irony.
Again, folks, that was a clip from our documentary called Choosing Life. If you want to download the entire thing and watch the entire piece, you can go to aclj.org, download it there and take a look. Folks, as we go to a break, I want you to stand against the United Nations effort to criminalize, to equate with torture, advocating a pro-life position. I need you to go to your phones and stand with us, 877-989-2255, or you can sign online at aclj.org.
Yeah.
The pro-life message is once again under assault. This time, a pro-abortion group is urging the United Nations to tell church leaders they have no right to oppose abortion. The Center for Reproductive Rights, a pro-abortion organization, is urging a UN committee to tell church leaders that the freedom of speech and of religion does not give them the right to advocate against abortion. And they go one step further with this unbelievable claim that somehow the pro-life message promotes torture. This discrimination against people of faith is absurd. We cannot let the pro-abortion lobby push its culture of death at the United Nations. We cannot let the pro-abortion lobby eliminate the pro-life message. Stand with the ACLJ and oppose the Center for Reproductive Rights. Add your name to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, holding the Internal Revenue Service accountable for a targeting scheme aimed at conservative and Tea Party groups. The ACLJ represents 41 organizations in 22 states in the largest lawsuit against the IRS on behalf of targeted Americans. Now it is time for the story to be told. The ACLJ has put together a short movie telling the story and explaining the high stakes of our fight against IRS abuse. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sat down with Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, Dr. Ben Carson, and many national leaders to tell this critical story. You can watch this movie free of charge. Go online to download this powerful new film, Tax Invasion, at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live, Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. We continue to talk about this unbelievable situation, folks, at the United Nations. I say it's unbelievable, and yet at the same time, really, there's not a whole lot that's unbelievable when it's coming out of the U.N. This is the body that you constantly, when you listen to the floor of the United Nations, you hear things like multiple nations and organizations refusing to use the name of Israel when talking about Israel. They instead use the Zionist regime and any other number of issues, folks, where the debate on the floor of the United Nations just often is not rooted in reality, and that's the case that we're talking about today, where somehow the pro-life position of the Catholic Church, which has, of course, has existed for hundreds of years, somehow now violates the Convention on Torture. Folks, it is not rooted in reality, and yet that is what we are dealing with at the United Nations today. If you want to stand with the Catholic Church and their pro-life position and communicate clearly to the United Nations that that does not constitute a violation of the Convention on Torture, I need you to call now, 877-989-2255. Or go online at aclj.org. But folks, in light of this, I wanted to play for you a segment of our pro-life documentary outlining our work on pro-life cases over the decades. This is called Choosing Life, and here is just a sample of that documentary.
We end up before the chief judge of the court, the federal court in Kansas, Patrick J. Kelly, and Judge Kelly became very aggressive.
An angry Judge Patrick Kelly said his orders to prevent demonstrators from closing down three anti-abortion clinics there would be obeyed. And federal marshals saw to it that they were.
They'll be arrested on the spot. They'll be brought to my court, those leaders. And by the evening, they'll be right up at Sedgwick County Jail. And if they have thoughts of being home by Christmas, they can forget it.
We hadn't even had the hearing on the contempt order, whether the injunction was violated. And he instructs me and others and tells them, tell your clients to bring their toothbrush. And he actually said this on national television as well.
Say farewell to their family and bring their toothbrush, and I mean it, because they're going to jail.
A judge can use his raw power to try to stifle the movement, but God has raised up a move of his spirit here that no man can stand against. None! None!
You know, we're called to do Nightline, and they tell me that the other guest is going to be Lawrence Tribe from Harvard University, and he's in an air-conditioned studio. I'm asked to go to the abortion clinic. About 10,000 protesters are there, pro-lifers. It's 104 degrees. And I'm asked to do it in front of the abortion clinic.
Joining us now from Wichita is the attorney for Operation Rescue, Jay Sekulow. And from our Boston affiliate, WCVB, Harvard University law professor, Lawrence Tribe, an expert on constitutional law. Mr. Sekulow, I want to ask you a question. When you say that you're the attorney, but that you don't tell your clients what to do, behind you are a great many people. I can just see a few of them who are obviously have followed you tonight and know that you are speaking. So that it is more, is it not, you have more than just the role of the attorney looking at the laws. You are advising those people behind you.
Barbara, I am here at this site because your office asked me to come here. I am the attorney. I would have been happy to do this in the studio. You all wanted the dramatic effect. You got it. There are thousands of people and millions across America that disagree, that say abortion's murder. And the fact of the matter is, what this case is all about are people speaking out. And in America, we have the right to speak out. Now, Judge Kelly disagrees with me. I respect that. But Judge Kelly knows that when he asked me to talk with my client, what I told him was I would inform the court of the order, the consequences of violation, as I am obligated to do as an officer of the court. Mm-hmm. But I don't have to go the next step, and Judge Kelly understood that, I believe. I am representing my client zealously. Maybe what's unusual here, and in this issue, is there's some zealous representation, which maybe has been long overdue.
They don't tell me that there's a third guest.
Joining us now from our affiliate, KAKE in Wichita, is U.S. District Judge Patrick Kelly.
The third guest ends up being the federal court judge who's hearing the case, Judge Kelly.
And my order will bring this to a close. And if these people take up tomorrow, and this lawyer will not tell them that they must follow my order, then tomorrow we'll see. But as I promised to them this week, if they take up again tomorrow, if they continue as what they did before, as opposed to today it was peace, they'll all be in jail. And I promise them that I will no longer listen. I try to work with them, try to reason with them, and I cannot reason with this lawyer. I begged him to turn to them and tell him, please, that you have an obligation to obey the law, and he will not.
That was inappropriate on the judge's part and caused, quite frankly, a significant change in litigation posture as well, because now we had Judge Kelly on Nightline debating the points with me on air, which was just absolutely inappropriate.
Okay. Are you going to take to the streets tomorrow? Are you going to be in front of those clinics?
I am the attorney representing these people. I am not the client.
I wish you could get a commitment from him of that. I'd like to know myself.
Okay, could you answer us tomorrow, just that question? Are you going to be in front of the abortion clinics tomorrow, sir?
Our clients are going to do what they think's right. I am not in a position to say what the clients are going to do. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you what we're legally doing. We've already appealed this on an emergency basis to the 10th Circuit. We do not get satisfactory relief there, Barbara. We are going to the United States Supreme Court. That's the bottom line.
What happens tomorrow, Barbara, or next week?
Well, tomorrow, if all holds, there'll be peace in this city.
Mm-hmm.
If these people elect to go back out and do what they were doing as mm-hmm. recent as Saturday, by tomorrow night, they'll all be in jail. It's that simple.
Obviously, this is a most important case. We're happy to be able to present some of your views tonight, and certainly the whole nation will continue to follow it and to see what happens, especially tomorrow.
I could probably close your show by saying what one of the lawyers on the steps of the court said this morning, that what we need is a new judge.
I end up going the next day into court, go back into chambers. Judge Kelly gives me this hug. He was very jubilant that we were on, you know, national TV. And I said, well, Judge Kelly, you know, you've gone from being the umpire to the cheerleader for the other side, and you really can't do that. And I said, I'm going to have to ask you to recuse yourself. He refused to, and I took it up to the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals on an emergency order, and they ordered his recusal. It became a really significant case on federal judges and their ability to be unbiased, and we take those cases up to the Supreme Court of the United States.
The U.S. Supreme Court hears arguments this week in a case backed by President Bush that could roll back the right of a woman to choose whether or not to have an abortion.
I think the politics of abortion has been helpful to the movement, and not everybody will agree with me on that. But taking the issue that public and making it be an issue that comes up in political debates so that the candidates are asked even today in the most recent presidential election, they're still asking the questions about abortion.
At what point does a baby get human rights, in your view?
Well, you know, I think that whether you're looking at it from a theological perspective or a scientific perspective, answering that question with specificity, is above my pay grade.
Whether it's Rick Warren in debate format with a town hall with Barack Obama and John McCain, whether it's in the actual debates themselves, whether it's the kind of justice they're going to appoint, if you go back to every single presidential debate since Ronald Reagan, abortion questions are asked.
Even if we're still wrestling with it on a public policy level, on a human, personal level, I think people are coming around. Someday we'll speak about abortion in the distant future as a medieval practice.
If you look back now 25 or 30 years later, it's not just part of a political platform, but in reality, it's become a human rights issue. And that's what's changed the entire debate. So you've got an entire group, a younger generation, in their 20s and 30s that are very pro-life, some even more pro-life than their parents, who were activists, because it's now deemed a human rights issue and that the taking of the life of the unborn child is a human rights violation.
There's a great example I use all the time. The Israel's fighting Goliath. They can't find anyone to fight, and here this young shepherd boy comes forward. And they try to put Saul's armor on him. Well, it doesn't fit him. And David says, you know, this isn't right for me. This isn't me. Let me use my sling and five stones. This is really a wonderful working model. It's very important that my first generation pro-life leadership do not put on this emerging generation what worked for us. Well, you know, we used to do this and this is what you have to do. No, we have to unleash this emerging generation, come behind them with our experience and resources and say, you take your stones and your slings and you use what you have to end this. And that's what we're seeing.
Now, 33, 35 years after Roe versus Wade, they're still talking about abortion. And that's a win in and of itself.
Again, folks, that was from our pro-life documentary called Choosing Life. If you want to watch the entire thing, it will give you a great outlook on our work on these pro-life cases over the decades and how it has shaped the legal landscape on the issue that we see today. But, folks, as we go to a break, the life issue that we're dealing with today is the idea that the United Nations might view a pro-life position as a violation on the Convention of Torture. If you disagree with that, if you want to stand up for the Catholic Church's right to hold that sacred position, call now 877-989-2255 or sign online at aclj.org.
This is Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel for the ACLJ. The battle to defend our religious freedom is being fought in courtrooms at the highest level. The need for exceptionally trained lawyers to protect our future is vital. Regent University School of Law is the nation's preeminent Christian law program for anyone considering a career in law today. ABA-accredited Regent Law ranks top 10 in the nation in faculty, according to the Princeton Review. With over 66 awards, Regent also placed in the top two in the Oxford University Global Moot Court Championship, besting both Oxford and Cambridge. The ACLJ is located on Regent's campus in Virginia Beach, Virginia, offering students an unprecedented opportunity to work on landmark Supreme Court cases through our association. Real-world training by real-world lawyers for today's unprecedented challenges. Come and study law where the law began. For information, go to regent.edu/law. That's regent.edu/law.
The pro-life message is once again under assault. This time, a pro-abortion group is urging the United Nations to tell church leaders they have no right to oppose abortion. The Center for Reproductive Rights, a pro-abortion organization, is urging a UN committee to tell church leaders that the freedom of speech and of religion does not give them the right to advocate against abortion. And they go one step further with this unbelievable claim that somehow the pro-life message promotes torture. culture. This discrimination against people of faith is absurd. We cannot let the pro-abortion lobby push its culture of death at the United Nations. We cannot let the pro-abortion lobby eliminate the pro-life message. Stand with the ACLJ and oppose the Center for Reproductive Rights. Add your name to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. We continue to talk about this ridiculous idea that the United Nations might actually hold that a pro-life position somehow violates or constitutes a violation of the Convention on Torture. It defies logic, but that's what we're dealing with. And folks, the fact that the ECLJ, the European Center for Law and Justice, has accreditation at the United Nations, it gives us an opportunity to firsthand engage these kind of ridiculous challenges that come forward. So we would ask that you would stand with us and stand with the ECLJ as we fight back on this ridiculous idea. You can do so by calling 877-989-2255 or by signing online at aclj.org. And folks, I'm going to play for you a sample of a documentary that we put together. It's called Ringside. Now, the entire documentary outlines our legal efforts on a wide number of issues, whether it's equal access issues, free speech issues, pro-life issues, what it may be. But today, since we're focusing on this issue at the UN, dealing with a pro-life issue, I wanted to play a sample from this documentary called Ringside that deals with some of our pro-life work over the years. Let's go ahead and roll it. Again, this is a sample of our documentary called Ringside.
As the case came to the Supreme Court of the United States, we realized that this could be a capstone. This could be a really significant victory for the pro-life movement that 20, 30, and 40 years from now could be looked upon as a crowning achievement. This was a movement that had birthed in the mid-80s, and pro-life, what were called rescues, where you had these mass sit-ins, sometimes of tens of thousands of people, reached their zenith in the 90s, in the early 90s, and these cases had been percolating up through the courts and ultimately to the Supreme Court of the United States. I was crisscrossing the country in those days. One day I'd be in New York, the next day in Texas, then out in Wichita. I mean, we were all over the country on a weekly basis handling a different Operation Rescue protest case. It was just part of what we did.
Here's what happened. The pro-choice movement was humming along. No real opposition per se on a grassroots level, no threat. And then suddenly, hundreds of people are coming into the streets kneeling at clinics. And they completely freaked out.
Well, we literally clashed philosophies in the street. We would have maybe sometimes only 15 or 20 people outside an abortion clinic. We might be on our knees praying. We might be carrying signs. We might be making announcements through a bullhorn. And the police would come and set up a police tape and keep the other side, the pro-abortion side, on the other side of the police tape. So you would literally have these two lines facing one another. There's usually a little space in between. So you'd have the pro-life side and the pro-abortion side across a police barrier.
We were spit on, urine thrown in our face, kicked, clubbed, it goes on and on, because for the first time since 73, I think the pro-choice movement recognized, oh my gosh, this is something really serious.
It could get pretty nasty. I mean, there were times when I was punched, I was spit on. On one occasion, I was urinated on as I knelt to pray. We had cigarettes put out in our hair. So it got pretty edgy. And sometimes violent.
On this day, October 16th, 1991, these people were lined outside the United States Supreme Court building waiting to get a seat to hear arguments on a case called Bray versus Alexandria Women's Health Clinic. At stake was whether federal courts should use their authority to stop pro-life advocates from blocking entrance to abortion facilities.
The pro-life movement, like every other social protest movement, must be protected by the First Amendment.
In our view, anyone attempting to block a clinic, for example, and prevent someone from going inside an abortion clinic is interfering with that person's exercise of that fundamental right.
The case that was just argued is a case in which the court will decide whether women are going to have any protection against illegal attacks by mobs and vigilantes.
The operators of these abortion clinics were arguing that opposition to abortion was discriminatory action against women seeking abortion. And we said that's ridiculous. There are both men and women on the pro-life side. They're not discriminating against women. They're protecting the unborn child.
What other group do you know of that has federal lawsuits being brought against them when they block facilities? None.
What these respondents were trying to do is stamp a badge of illegitimacy on a social protest movement. And the federal courts do not need to become monitors of state trespass actions, and that's all this is. It's a state trespass action. At best, it's a obstruction statute, and that's what's involved here. And these should have been in the state courts, and federal courts should not be put in the position of stifling civil disobedience.
We made it a very narrow case, and sometimes that's the best strategy at the Supreme Court of the United States. We had lost in the lower court, so our job was to win. How do you win a case like that involving abortion protests and the federal statutes are involved? We said the case had no business being in federal court, that if someone blockaded an abortion clinic, at best, it would be a state trespass action. It would not be a federal claim.
Abortion advocates use the argument that pregnant women seeking abortions are a special class of people and therefore should be protected under an 1871 law called the Ku Klux Klan Act.
Well, I think the key issue is that women are a protected class, or women seeking abortions are a protected class under this particular law.
As a woman and an attorney, I don't feel that what these people are doing by sitting in clinics is exploitative of women or discrimination against women.
No way could they apply this KKK law to the effort on the part of the pro-lifers to save lives.
The lower courts have interpreted the KKK Act to cover class-based hostility. The question is whether pregnant women seeking abortions are a legitimate class under that statute.
The fact that they're being targeted because they are pregnant makes them a protected class.
They have tried to bludgeon us and to crush this movement by an illegitimate use of the federal judiciary. This is simply about trespass or disorderly conduct. If we win, it's a victory for all protest groups.
The law's gone haywire. It's so far outside of the scope of what the Ku Klux Klan Act was supposed to do. The trial judge himself said that this was basically a simple trespass action. Then why don't they treat it like one?
What was interesting about that case was that I had argued the case at the beginning of the term, which was October, and here we were at the end of the term with no decision yet. Now, also, Thurgood Marshall had resigned. He did not hear the case, and Clarence Thomas had not yet been confirmed. So I argued the case in October, expecting to get a decision, knowing it was a controversial case. It was involving abortion protests towards the end of the term, which would be June. I got a call in June, all right, but it was not a decision. It was the court requesting re-argument. So we had that summer to prepare for a re-argument, and they asked one additional question. So the initial thought was that it was 4-4 and it was a tie, but when we saw the questions that were asked, we realized there was much more to it.
Again, folks, that was a piece of our documentary called Ringside. Both that documentary and the Choosing Life documentary are available online at aclj.org. I would encourage you to check both of them out. But, folks, as we close the broadcast today, I need you to go to your phones at 877-989-2255 and tell the United Nations clearly a pro-life position does not constitute a violation of the Convention on Torture. If anything, the opposite is true. But certainly, the Catholic Church's sacred belief that every life, even the preborn life, should be protected does not constitute torture. Folks, the number to join us is 877-989-2255. As always, you can sign online as well at aclj.org, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
This discrimination against people of faith is absurd. We cannot let the pro-abortion lobby push its culture of death at the United Nations. We cannot let the pro-abortion lobby eliminate the pro-life message. Stand with the ACLJ and oppose the Center for Reproductive Rights. Add your name to our petition. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.